when you're before a storm and while you're in the storm and after the storm, what do you do? And boy, there's all kinds of people got all kinds of things, you know. Who was that? Rachel put something on there about somebody getting 79 cases of water, bottled water. And people's got all ideas. That's never seen these kind of storms. They have all kind of ideas. But you know, there's some storms in life too. We have a lot of storms in life. And I heard a fellow say one time, you're either going in one or coming out of one. Amen. There ain't much time in between the two. It's been like that around here today. It rained a little while, and then it blistered sun. Then it would rain, and then the sun would blister, and then it would rain, and then the sun would blister. And so as a storm approaches, we've got some promises of God. Look at Isaiah 43. Look at verse 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. Now, if I belong to him, you think he's going to let anything happen to me? Look at the next verse. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I like that. He said, when thou passest through the waters. Now, I've been watching the weather before we came. I was watching the weather. And of course, the weatherman dramatizes everything, you know. And he'll get you up to a great point. You know, he's showing you this map, and it's category 5, 4, 3, 2. And then it will tell you more. We'll be right back. Don't change channel. It's all about staying on his station. That's what it's all about, you know. They're movie stars. And but I've been watching that, you know, and it's just like the Lord, you know. They had all kind of, I don't know why I'm coughing, y'all, but they had all kind of maps, you know, that the hurricane was going to come in up at, where was it? Way up in North Carolina. Wilmington, that's it. And then it a little bit lower, and then a little bit lower, and now it's way down there at Myrtle Beach, you know. And it was going to come in, wipe out everything, you know, for about 150 miles. And now they say it's going to come to Myrtle Beach and die, and nothing but rain's going to come, a little bit of wind. But as that storm approaches, and as any storm approaches, Hurricane Hugo came. I went to work. I said, ain't going to be no hurricane. Not in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's not going to be a hurricane. How many of y'all said that? Ain't going to be no hurricane. I went to work just like any other time. Boss man was glad to see me. A bunch of those others laid out. He worked me to death on account of it, too. 11 o'clock, I walk out of that building, and the wind's blowing. I'm driving home, you know, and I saw the Wicked Witch of the East, you know, flying by on her bicycle. I get home and pull in the driveway. I see that little girl's house twirling up into the air, you know. I went there, my wife and kids were in the bed. I said, what are y'all doing in the bed? You know, there's a hurricane out there. She said, yeah, but staying up ain't going to change it.
Three little kids. What you
going to
do with them?
Three little, yeah, they were little. So my aunt had lived in Wilmington for many years, and she always told us when you have a hurricane, you crack the windows a little bit on one side of the house, you close them on the other side of the house, and that way the pressure doesn't build up in there and lift your roof off. So I did it. And then I sat in the living room. We had a storm door, and I sat there, and I watched the rain flowing sideways through the air, and there was a door went down the road, and there was a hood off the car went down the road. And a little bit later, our power went out. And I looked out in the backyard. The back porch was gone, and we had a trampoline out there, And the wind had picked it up and carried it over the power lines. And we had those three line power lines. You know, if you knock off one, it'll work a little bit, but not much. And it knocked off that top line and went over and landed in the neighbor's yard. And it was shaped like an egg laying over another yard. We really wasn't prepared for it. I don't think anybody was. We had block cookouts because everybody's refrigerator quit working. So we drug all the meat out of the refrigerator and had grills going everywhere, you know. We wasn't ready. Now this one, I'm ready. I'm trusting the Lord. But you know, spiritually, now I'm talking to saved people, okay? I'm not talking to lost people. Lost people have storms and they have no help. But as far as saved people, as the storms approach in our life, we've got the promise of God's protection.
That's right. Amen.
Now, but there's some things He expects us to do, though. He expects us to do some things. Now, there's a lot of people, just that old song, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be. I'm talking about Christians. And you'll end up in a mess if you get like that. So I looked up some scripture and I thought about, I tried to relate it to your house and to your Christian life. So turn to Matthew chapter 7. Most of you know this passage. You know several of them. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, when a storm's coming like that, maybe you'll check your foundation. Now, we see these islands out in the Atlantic, you know, like Haiti and all this, hurricanes come and just wipe them out. Well, Bubba Peart, our missionary to Haiti, told me the other day, he said, when those people build houses, they just clear off a spot and build it on top of the sand. He said, we dig down and we lay foundations and we lay cement. He said, but those natives don't do that. They'll just build a hut on top of the sand. When the wind comes, it just blows it all away and have to start all over. Well, I think our spiritual storms are the same way. You better have the right foundation.
Come on now.
A lot of people are building their foundation of life on pleasure, money, people, even some on religion. But when the storms come and that doctor comes in there and says, you've got cancer, you cannot be healed, their house is going to fall. But we're built on the rock. Jesus Christ is that rock. Now, Jesus one day said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We can't weather the storms of life with a shaky foundation. You've got to have a good foundation. Now, you may not be a real Bible knowledgeable Christian, but if you got the foundation, you can go through a lot.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You may not have had a great upbringing as a Christian. So there's a lot of things you don't know that mom and daddy experienced, they could have passed on to you, but if you've got Jesus Christ, you're on the right foundation, He'll hold you up. Amen? And the foundation of the house is most important.
Amen.
Now, your roof can be bad and it'll leak, but the house won't fall in. You can break a window, the wind might blow in, but it ain't going to tear the house down. But if your foundation is not right and the storms come like we're fixing to get, your house is going to fall. It's the same way with our spiritual house. We've been saved. We've been saved by the grace of God. We're planted on the rock. And our name's on the roll.
Yes.
And so therefore, even the most ignorant, and I don't mean that in a mean way, I mean uninformed, ignorant Christian, can weather the storms as long as they've got Jesus Christ holding on to them.
Amen.
He said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. Now, it may feel like your house is falling in. I was scared to death. I was sitting there in that Rock Hill Homes cracker box that we lived in and seeing things fly down the street, you know, like the Wizard of Oz. I thought, man, the roof's coming off at any minute. There's something going to come through that window, you know, or something like that. But our foundation was a cement slab. It wasn't going nowhere. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the rock. You get on Him, you'll be all right. He'll hold you. You may not know what to do, but when you come out the other side, you'll look back and you'll say, the only reason I made that was because I was on Jesus Christ and He was in me.
Amen.
Number two, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm talking about what to do before. Check your foundation. What to do getting ready. What to do to prepare for a spiritual storm. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Whether therefore rather brethren, give diligence. I said 2 Peter, didn't I? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, so you go out, you check your foundation, you make sure everything's good and solid, and then you start tightening things up. You tighten things up. If you got shutters, you close them, lock them. If you got windows, you close them, you lock them. You make things sure. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Making it sure means it's solid. You've checked it out. And listen, when you go through the storms of life, you better make sure your foundation's solid. And you better make sure you're in the will of God, because the storm is coming, and you better not be mistaken about if you are saved or if you are in the will of God. Now, we'll run around the house. My wife doesn't give me instructions. And don't sit there and act like yours had. You might have ignored them, Jerry, but she gave them. Billy. Say amen, Billy. She doesn't give you instructions. Now, we got to go out there and we got to put this in the storage building. We got to take this down, put it in the storage building. We got to turn that table over out there. We got to turn that trampoline over so the wind can't get under it. And she's already given me instruction. But what she's doing, she's making things sure. There's not going to be any doubt that this stuff's going to fly all over the place and hurt us. Amen? So make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're saved. When you're in a storm, say, Lord, am I saved? If I am saved, Lord, help me get this thing straightened out. Lord, am I in your will? Check out the will of God. See if you're in the will of God. And God creates storms. The devil don't. You never thought about that? I remember one time one of these hurricanes killed all these people. I think it's Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell or somebody. On TV made the comment that God sent the storm. Oh, my goodness, the media went, wow, God? He said God sent that storm. What kind of religion does he have? God would never do that. They never read the Bible. Every storm that was ever created was sent by God. And some of them were for punishment. And in our life, there's nothing, no storm coming through unless it comes through His hand first. You say, you mean all those thousands of people got killed because God said, yes, yes, yes. Go read your Bible, man. There's something wrong with people that don't believe that. Hey, if I die in a storm, it was God's will. God sent that storm. Well, a God of love, He never would do that. Well, He is a God of love, and He does love me, and it may be better for me if He takes me out in the storm. But at the same time, it may be punishing somebody else, not me. And He's going to take me through it. So you tighten up things. You make your call and your election sure. Now, I'll say this. Since I've been saved, I've never doubted my salvation. Now, I've doubted me. I've never doubted Him. But I've never doubted my salvation not one time. I was there when it happened. It's hard to doubt being born again.
Amen.
That's hard to doubt. Now, I've doubted how good of a Christian I was, but I've never doubted being a Christian, because just like you. You were there. I was born April 16th, 1954. I can't doubt that. I'm here. I'm living proof. Amen. I got a birth certificate that proves it. Well, I got another one right here that proves I was born again. And so I've never doubted my salvation, but my calling, sometimes I've doubted that. Usually every Sunday after I get through preaching. Really. Or right in the middle of a sermon while you're making faces at me. Yeah. He told Isaiah, said, don't pay attention to their faces. I used to have a woman sitting back pew. She'd sit like this every Sunday and go. Danny took her place. But you know what I said? Keep that up. That inspires my preaching. I preached a funeral for Catawba Indian one time, and I didn't know the man. I knew his kids. And there's two big old women back there on the back. You could tell they run things, you know. And they sit there. And all I was doing was preaching the gospel. And whenever I got through, I went out in the parking lot, and the guy that got me to preach funerals walking with me, and those two women's in this car. They was in their 60s, and they pulled up beside me, and he spoke to them. They really could stop and speak to him. And that woman looked at me. She said, "Young man," and I was young then, "you got a lot to learn." That's what she told me. Of course, she was a Mormon. And I said, "You're right, ma'am. I've got a lot to learn. But I don't have to learn this. I know this. You must be born again." Amen. I've got a lot to learn. I still got a lot to learn. I'm still learning. But I learned a long time ago, if I've got the right foundations, I don't have anything loose just floating around out there in my spiritual life, and I keep things tight, the Lord's going to take care of me through the storm. He's brought me through some that I thought I'd die, spiritually and in my heart. I've been through storms since I've been saved. Felt like somebody just cut my heart out, threw it on the floor, and was stomping it. Couldn't breathe, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, just cry all the time. You ever been through one of them? Amen. But he brought me through it. He didn't let me go. Hey, I clung to him. He clung to me. Amen. And so therefore, if you're going to go through a storm spiritually, check things that are loose in your life. Well, is this all right out here? It's kind of way out here, and I don't ever pay it much attention, and I don't even know if it's good for me or not. Tighten that up. Bring it over here and check it out with God's Word, see if it's good. If it ain't, cut it loose, throw it away. Amen? Get it away from you, because when the storm comes, it's going to sling that right up against you. Number three. Y'all still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Not yet. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now I'm talking about what to do before, in, and after a spiritual storm. That fellow said it's a category 4, going to become a 5. It's category 4, going to become a 3. And now they say it's going to turn into a tropical storm. Well, it's still a storm. Even the little storms can kill you. Amen? We're going to get probably over 10 inches of rain. Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. They're calling school off Thursday and Friday. My wife's a mad Lancaster. It ain't but 10% chance of rain Thursday. Why are they doing that? It's 30% Friday. It's 100% Saturday and Sunday. And when that rain comes, hey, look, that much rain. Now, some of y'all foreigners, you ain't never been around here when it rained a lot. This is the Piedmont. And these trees around here, a lot of them don't have deep roots. And that ground's going to get wet, and just the least little bit of wind's going to pull that whole thing over on top of your house, except yours. They cut all y'all's trees down. Your neighborhood don't have any trees. They cut them all down. But some of these older homes with the big trees, watch out. Watch out. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight." and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I said you need to check your foundation. You need to tighten things up, close those windows, get stuff tightened up. And then, listen, we need to, look at it again, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about a cloud of witnesses. See the cloud? Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Now, you got to get rid of unnecessary things when a storm comes. That old bicycle is laying out in your yard. You've been too lazy to throw it away and it's all rusted and everything. Now you're calling it art. Seen one the other day, vines was growing all up through it. They done painted it orange and put some flowers on it. They call it art now. Some of y'all's houses are really artistic. Where I come from, we call them junk. It's junk, man. Just put a flower on it and call it art, Brother Danny. Your wife will never ask you to move it again. I'm selling it. You want to buy it? Amen. Stay out of my preaching. We never did get you a letter from Liberty. We can always send you back. Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. Get back in the book and be quiet. But unnecessary things will hurt you in a storm. I saw a picture of a 2x4 that went in the outside wall of a house and was sticking through the inside wall, just like big old 8 foot long, 4 foot outside, 4 foot inside. A 2x4 that's laying out there loose. Somebody left it laying loose and it became a weapon and it became dangerous and that wind just blew it right through. So he says, lay aside all these things that are unnecessary. These sins which does so easily beset us, or that trip us up. Now, in a storm, you don't want to carry a whole lot of unnecessary stuff with you. Amen. Now, you'll see these people, you know, they'll be buying stuff at the grocery store. They got a truckload of water. You know, they got 10 loaves of bread. They got all kind of stuff. But that's unnecessary. And it's the same way in our Christian life. When we're going through a storm, there's a lot of things you're going to lay aside because you're going to find out they're really a bigger burden than they are a blessing.
Big, that's big.
Yeah. A lot of these things that we go for and we beg for and we shoot for and we holler and cry for, and then we go through a storm and boy, we're dragging that dead weight along behind us. We say, man, I wish I'd never got this in my life. I wish I'd never took this up. Amen. I'd have been a whole lot lighter in this storm if it wasn't for this mess I'm paying for and shouldn't even be paying for. Or this friend I'm dragging along with me, and I don't even want him in my life no more. Amen? You better watch it. Storms, we got to get rid of unnecessary things. Just throw it away. Now, I'm going to say something. My mom was poor, but her house was spotless. You ever heard you could eat off the floor? That's my mama's house. Spotless. We didn't have much, but what we had was clean and spotless. And she'd throw something away in a minute. If you left something laying around, she'd say, if you don't want that, I'm going to throw it away. I don't want that stuff cluttering up my floor. If you don't want it, I'm going to throw it away. I'd put it up real quick. But she wouldn't have unnecessary stuff. You go in her living room, she had a couch. She had 2 chairs. She had a coffee table with a family Bible on it. She had little old tables on the end that you put your lamps on, and she had a TV, and that was it, buddy. Her bedroom was about the same way. She didn't have and all her furniture was antique. It was old. Yeah. She didn't go buy something every week. She didn't go yard selling.
She didn't go to the auction and bring. Some people buy so much junk, they got more junk in their building than they got in the house. Now they have to rent storage to put their junk in. Why would you do that? I'm not talking about some of y'all people move from somewhere else, you ain't got room in that, you downsize and all that. But I'm talking about these people go to yard sales and auctions and everywhere, and they buy junk. I'll never forget. I've been to one auction, two auctions with my dad-in-law. He goes all the time. Years ago, we went to that one. It used to be where the Fort Rock Drive-In was. There was an auction out there after the drive-in closed. Old building, old rundown building, you know. And the guy was, I wish I could do that auctioneer thing. But he was auctioning stuff off, you know, and junk. It was just junk. And my dad-in-law said, ain't nobody buying nothing. I said, I wouldn't buy it either. He said, they'll start buying in a minute, watch. And that old fella held up as one of the ugliest, dirtiest looking old vases you ever seen in your life. And he said, what I hear bid for this? And my daddy said, $1. And some other guy said, $2. My daddy-in-law said, $2.25. So he got it. And so they go auction off something else. He says, watch this. I'm going to get this place started up. And he reached in his pocket, pulled a $20 bill, and dropped it down that vase. He said, hey, do we get to keep whatever we find in this stuff? I found a $20 bill. People start buying stuff like crazy. Junk. Went to another, they had one of those crank phones. You remember those old crank phones? Some of y'all never even heard of what I'm talking about. You crank it and you take that little thing, put it up to your ear, and you're talking to it, you know? And they were auctioning, they had two, they was auctioning them off. He said, you ought to bid on that. I said, that's a piece of junk. He said, bid on it. I said, I wouldn't give them $10 for it. It's a piece of junk, it's falling apart. He said, bid $100 and you won't get it. If you do, I'll give you the $100. I bid $100 and some guy outbid me $150 for a piece of junk. I was so happy I didn't get that thing. I was so happy. We don't need all that stuff. We don't need all in our homes, in our life, and same way in our spiritual life. Look, you don't have to belong to the 700 Club. You belong to the local church. Amen. You don't have to belong to TBN. You belong to the local church. That's junk food. That's Christian junk food, just like PTL was. It's Christian junk food. You don't need that. It won't send you to hell. Sometimes it might be a little blessing in it, but it's not what you need. You need to get rid of all that junk. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to thee. Forsake not the assembling thyself together. Get close to God. Get close to what you know to do. You know you ought to read your Bible. You know you ought to pray. You know you ought to live right, act right, look right, talk right. You know you ought to go to church. You know you ought to be a witness. And all the rest of that stuff is just junk. I feel so sorry sometimes for people. Their whole testimony is written on a T-shirt. Their whole testimony is written on a T-shirt. Junk. Open your mouth. Talk to people. Well, got quiet on that. Y'all got T-shirts, don't you? All right, I'll go follow that. Written on their hat. But I'm not saying it's wrong, but here's what I'm saying. You don't need a whole lot of stuff to go through the storm. You just need to you need to know you got the right foundation. Everything's up close. There's nothing between you and the Savior. You've gotten rid of unnecessary things. And now turn to Matthew chapter 8. And we'll go home before it starts raining. Matthew chapter 8. It's not going to rain till Friday. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. If you watch the weatherman, you'll never go to church.
The Bible teaches you better than that. He said, don't pay no attention to the clouds and the sky. You just go on and plow. If it rains, you can quit. Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 23, if you will. Familiar passage again. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? There's this old song, Christian song, I guess it's Christian, ride out your storm. They were in the boat with the Lord. Why would they worry about that storm? Why would they be upset, the waves, the water, and all? And I know, you know, the ocean's a scary place. Big Lake's a scary place. I saw Lake Michigan. It's scary when it's frozen. But Jesus was in the boat. He created the universe. He holds it together. The boat couldn't sink with him in it. It was impossible for the boat to sink with Jesus in the boat. What they should have done was realize who was in the boat and just sat back and said, this is going to be fun.
Yes.
Better than Carowinds, man.
Old Peter over here done turned green, throwing up. Andrew looked at him and said, hang on, brother, it won't be long. It'll be over.
Sometimes you just got to ride it out. Storms in life, you just got to ride them out. Why would we think we're any better than the people that came before us that were believers? America has Americanized the Scriptures. They leave out all the pain. They leave out all the suffering. They leave out all the storms, all the clouds, all the dark times. And all those things are good for us.
Yes, it's the good stuff.
You watch what I tell you. Saturday and Sunday it's going to rain cats and dogs. You might see a few fall.
But within a week, the grass is going to be so pretty. And the trees are going to be so green. And the flowers are just going. And my front porch, all that old dust is going to be washed off of it. Amen. Amen. So sometimes just ride it out.
You get scared in a storm, but you know that it can't harm you because he won't let it, and it's meant for your good. So you just say, and people will come up to you, they'll say, Brother Dan, you're going through all this. Aren't you afraid? You say, yeah, but I ain't getting out of the boat.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Jeffrey, it's a long way to Michigan. What you going to do if a hurricane comes?
I'm going to batten down the hatches. I ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to stay in Jesus. Amen. I ain't getting out of the boat. He's in the boat. Amen. It'd have been dumb to jump out of that boat.
You'd have died graveyard dead in about 2 minutes. Just ride it out.
And after the storm's over, probably a week, a month, a year later, Brother Danny, you'll look back on that time and you'll say, I was scared to death. That hurt. I didn't like it. I feared for my spiritual life, my physical life, my family's life. But look what came out of it. Look what came out of it. So maybe we'll do like old Captain Bligh. You remember him? You remember Moby Dick? When the storms came, what did he do? Y'all never read Moby Dick?
Beauty on the Bounty, I think.
Oh, no. Well, maybe, no, it was Moby Dick. He's He roped himself to the mast. He tied himself to the mast. And when the storm was over, he was fine. They thought he was crazy. But he tied himself, not the whale. The captain tied himself to the... Hello! Send her a storm, Lord, clear that head up. I tell you what you don't do. You don't go get in somebody else's boat.
Amen.
You better stay in your boat. Because let me tell you something, they got some storms too. And you'll be the first dead weight they throw out when they start going through their storm. They won't have any affection for you at all. It's coming. I know I make light of it, and storms do come. And they do hurt, and they are scary. But just stay in the boat. Batten down the hatches. Close the shutters. Get rid of all that junk. Make sure you're on the right foundation. And it won't be long. The sun will break through and the clouds will roll back. And you'll be better than you were before you went in. Amen. Get your hymn book, turn to 324.